We're going to get in trouble. Father, we do look forward tonight to what you're going to teach us. And Lord, what a kind of an exciting time, but yet kind of a really, really down, bummed out time this is as we kind of near the end of Jeremiah's ministry and his pouring himself out for that nation, Israel, Judah, if you will. And as we watch him, God, I pray that it would give us that sense of encouragement, that sense of steadfastness, patience, and Lord, that we would be people who, God, we're going to do what you've called us to do in spite of what we may look at that might be, quote, called success, or in spite of our circumstances, that, God, if we know we're called, we'll stay in our calling. So I pray that you would encourage us during this time, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, I just kind of wanted to read where, you know, good point to look at what Jeremiah's gone through suffering-wise so far. So this is going to continue. He is ignored, was ignored, rejected, scorned, humiliated. He was beaten, imprisoned, put into stocks, and was falsely accused and condemned as a traitor. And twice he was cast into a dungeon and left for dead. So kind of get that picture. And then if you remember when we left off, those of you who come on Thursday nights, if you're not here on Thursday nights, when we left off, remember the people, there's a group wanting to go to Egypt, but they stopped and they asked him, they said, tell us what to do, and we'll do it. Well, they're liars. Just to let you know, we're going to find out tonight. So Jeremiah, at the end of, from the middle to the end of chapter 42, explained to them and gave them God's word, you don't want to go. Whatever you do, don't go to Egypt. And then we just talked about that, and it's amazing how much feedback I got from people. I mean, people sent me things, I'm not going to Egypt. So that's good, you know. A lot of different feedback I got of people not wanting to go to Egypt, which is really great. And yet, as we read these guys, man, I mean, he laid it out as plain as he could, and he is completely ignored and rejected. Now, you know, as a pastor, as someone who teaches God's word, I read this, man, and I feel for Jeremiah. I can't imagine 46 years of people not listening to you, of everyone rejecting what you said, not wanting anything, and the things that we've read, you know, the physical things we read are hard enough, but I think the emotional of just people saying, we're not listening to you, and it's going to get a little bit worse. It's not as bad as it could get for him as far as people ignoring him. So he's laid all of that out, telling him not to go to Egypt. And chapter 43, verse 1, kind of picks up at the tail end of that. And it says, now it happened when Jeremiah had stopped speaking to all the people, all the words of the Lord their God, for which the Lord their God had sent him to them, all these words, that Azariah, the son of Hoshea, Johanan, the son of Kareah, and all of the proud men spoke, saying to Jeremiah, you speak falsely. The Lord has not sent you do not go to Egypt. Do not go to Egypt to dwell there. Now, here's an interesting thing. Things haven't changed over the millenniums or whatever. Here's what these guys are doing. They're not so much rejecting Jeremiah, although in a sense they are, but here's what they're saying. They're rejecting God's word. They're saying God's word is not God's word, and they're kind of, you know, they're coming to him and they're denying God's word. Men have denied God's word forever. People are still denying God's word. And they do it in various ways. They either flat out deny God's word, or, and we'll see in a moment, they'll use this whole thing of, well, it's not really God's word, it's man's word. Look at verse 3. Here's what they say. They say, but Baruch, the son of Neriah, has sent you against us to deliver us into the hand of the Chaldeans, that they may put us to death or carry us away captive to Babylon. So here's, remember, Baruch is Jeremiah's kind of assistant, if you will. They're saying it's not God's word, it's man's word. And how many times do people do that? When you share the Bible with people, how many people tell you, I don't really think that's God's word? And you know, I kind of enjoy that. When people tell me that that's a book written by men, I tell them, can you explain to me what you're saying? Because I would really like to know. How do you know that that's written by men? And they usually quote something that they heard somebody say or they saw on YouTube or something. And they kind of go off and you say, well, but wait a minute, what about? And you begin to bring up facts to them and they get really confused. And then they call you ugly. Because this is what people do when they start losing debates, right? And so these guys are telling Jeremiah, that's not God's word. We're not accepting it as God's word. And we think Baruch is the one who told you. We think it's the word of man, not the word of God. And so they're totally rejecting. Now, I think if I'm Jeremiah at this point, I think I would say, I quit. I'm turning in my prophet card. I'm done. I'm not going to hang out with you guys. Listen to what the opportunity. He could go to Babylon and live happily ever after, couldn't he? But he rejected that. And he said, I'm going to stay in Jerusalem. And then if you remember, they murdered the governor that they put there. Then these other guys came in and they got freaked out because they're afraid that Nebuchadnezzar will come back and beat them up because they beat somebody up. And so that's why they're wanting to go to Egypt. They're freaked out. And Jeremiah, man, I'm thinking, you know what? Here's my card. You guys go do what you want because you can do what you want anyway. And I'm going to Babylon. Because I know that I'll be taken care of. I know I'll eat well. I know things will go well. You guys go to Egypt and die because that's what's going to happen. I'd just be point blank instead of going through everything he goes through. But listen, as he finishes and as they tell him Baruch sending him, then in verse 4 it says, so Johanan the son of Kareah and all the captains of the forces and all the people would not obey the voice of the Lord to remain in the land of Judah. You know, if you remember back in like verse 6, they said, no matter what comes of chapter 42, no matter what said, no matter what happens, we're going to do whatever God says. Now they're going, no, I don't want to do what God says. Because they're like a lot of us. A lot of us want to do what God says as long as His plans match our plans. As long as He's doing what we think we should be doing and it lines up and it comes together, we're going, good God. But the minute God rips us out of our comfort zone and begins to take us in a different direction, we're going, well, that can't be from God because this isn't what I thought it was going to be. And I think it's important for us, you know, as you begin to serve the Lord, you're going to find out, number one, it's not always beautiful and pleasant. And I'm not talking about even just full-time ministry. I'm talking about stepping out and doing something. And things begin to happen, and things begin to happen in your life, and you've got to deal with those situations. And it's not always that thing like, wow, I thought it was going to be so much fun and so easy. And these guys are saying, listen, they're saying, man, we're not going to do what God says because we don't want to do what God says because it's not lining up with what we thought. I would venture to say 60% of us have probably done that same thing with the Lord. We've told the Lord, I'll do it. And He shows us and we go, well, that's not quite what I had in mind. And maybe we come around eventually and do things, but come on, if we're really honest, I think a lot of us have kind of sidestepped some things that God has put in front of us because it's difficult. Well, these guys are taking a huge sidestep. They're taking a huge detour. So they go, listen, man, we're not going to do this. So verse 5, Johanan, the son of Kareah, and the captain of the forces and all the remnant of Judah who had returned to dwell in the land of Judah from all the nations where they had been driven, men, women, children, king's daughters, and every person who Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, had left with Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, and Jeremiah the prophet, and Baruch the son of Neriah. So they went to the land of Egypt. What a bummer, right? They grab him, and I'm thinking he's kicking and screaming. They're going, we're going to Egypt, bro, and you're going with us. Kind of a safety net, right? Do you think they might be thinking, Jeremiah said if we go to Egypt, we're all going to die, and we're going to have famine and all this is going. And maybe if we take him with us, maybe it won't be so bad. We'll kind of use him as our safety net, and we'll take Jeremiah with us. And I'm thinking Jeremiah is screaming the whole way, no, I don't want to go. And they're like, they're dragging him. And away they go. And I just imagine in his mind, he's thinking, I could be in Babylon right now, eating really, really good food. And now I'm on my way to Egypt, and it's not going to be good. It's going to be difficult. It's going to be tough. It's going to be hard. So listen, they went to the land of Egypt, for they did not obey the voice of the Lord, and they went as far as Tapanhes. And so here they are. They're down there. And listen, man, you got to be thinking, again, you got to be thinking, what is going on in his mind? That's what I think. Like, why? How did all this happen? I thought, you know, I know God told me when I was going to go into ministry it was going to be hard, and I kind of understood hard, but I didn't think he meant like impossible, and I didn't think he meant like no one was going to listen and no one was going to care, and I surely never thought of myself as going to Egypt when I said nobody should go to Egypt. Now, here he is in Egypt, and he's like freaking out a little bit. And then until verse 8, then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah in Tapanhes saying, as you're sitting there with a bunch of disobedient people who totally reject God, totally reject His Word, and you go to Egypt, and now God is speaking to you, do you think there might just be a little bit of Jeremiah that might be thinking, I don't want to hear this? God has given him another message, and it's like, these people are deaf, God. They don't care. They don't want to hear. Why are you giving me more things to say to them when they could care less about anything you have to say? And so, again, turn in your prophet card. Tell them you're done. And then listen, this is another, here's what I love. One last show and tell for Jeremiah. He's done a couple of show and tells. This is his last one. So here's what God, now kind of get a picture. You're in Egypt and you got to act this out, right? You got to be part of this. So God says to Jeremiah, take large stones in your hand and hide them in the sight of the men of Judah in the city, in the clay in the brick courtyard, which is at the entrance to Pharaoh's house in Tapanhes, and say to them, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will send and bring Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, my servant, and king of Babylon, my servant, and I will set his throne above these stones that I have hidden, and I will spread his royal pavilion over them. So Jeremiah grabbed these stones. So here he is. He's grabbing a bunch of stones. He's going, are you guys watching? Paying attention? Why don't you pay attention? And he sticks them kind of, I don't think it's in the brick mortar. I think it's in the clay between the stones that are the cobblestone. And he's sticking them down there. He goes, you paying attention? Now here's what's going to happen. Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, he's going to come. He's going to conquer this place and he's going to set his tent right here. How's that feel for you guys who didn't want to be under, you know, the king of Babylon, thinking you could run from Egypt, I'm sorry, from Israel, and you could go to Egypt and you could do well and things wouldn't be hard for you or difficult for you. And here you are, now you're there, and man, you're stuck, and you're stuck hard. Now here's the thing. I think a lot of us are like these people. Not so much that we go back to Egypt. I think we kind of do go back to Egypt. I think I do at times. But here's what I think. I think they're thinking, we need a fresh new start someplace. You know, sometimes we think, if I move from this area to this area, things will be better. And things will be okay if I just relocate. I love that old song from Keith Green, you know, and he talks about, hey, you can go and you can run, but wherever you go, here's the major problem. You're there. And we think that new move is going to help us out. Or some of us, maybe if I got a new spouse. Or some of us, maybe if I got a new church, because I am fed up with these people. And we do those things. Here's the thing. We don't need a new start. Listen carefully. We need a new heart. And no matter where they go, there you are, and you're going to be part of that. And these people are running and running and running and going, and they're just going to face the same issues they faced where they were, because they're the same people. If you don't change your heart, things aren't going to change. So, listen, he hides that stuff. He says, here's what's going to happen. And then, verse 11, when he comes, he shall strike the land of Egypt and deliver to death those appointed for death, to captivity, those appointed for captivity, and to sword, those appointed for the sword. And I will kindle a fire in the houses of the gods of Egypt, and he shall burn them and carry them away captive, and he shall array himself with the land of Egypt as a shepherd puts on his garment, and he shall go out from there in peace. Once again, he's just talking about Nebuchadnezzar just coming, taking full control of that area, and he shall break the sacred pillars of Beth Shemesh and that is in the land of Egypt, and the houses of the gods of the Egyptians he shall burn with fire. So that's what's going to happen. You guys ran to Egypt thinking you were going to be okay and everything was going to be good, but guess what? It's going to get bad. It's going to get way, way more bad than number one, if you would have just gone to Babylon, or number two, if you would have just stayed in Judah where I told you to stay. So he delivers that. Now, again, I'm thinking, that couldn't have been fun to deliver that message. They're already ignoring you. They're already mad at you. They drug you to Egypt, and they're thinking, you know, here's now what they're thinking. You're just angry, dude. You're just mad because we brought you to Egypt. This isn't really going to happen to us. So now begins kind of I call it kind of a dialogue between them. Verse 40, or chapter 44, verse 1. The word that came to Jeremiah concerning all the Jews who dwell in the land of Egypt and who dwell at Migdol and Tophnes and Noph and in the country of Pathros, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel. You have seen all the calamity that I have brought on Jerusalem and on all the cities of Judah. And behold, this day they are a desolation and no one dwells in them. Because of their wickedness which they have committed to provoke me to anger in that they were to burn incense, in that they went to burn incense and to serve other gods who they did not know, they nor you nor your fathers. So here's what he's saying, man. I destroyed Judah for a reason. It wasn't because God just like, oh, I'm tired of Judah, I'm going to change. It's because they went after other gods. He's trying to teach them. He's trying to get them in that place. So he says, listen, we did that. You need to know that. So, however, verse 40, or verse 4, I have sent to you all my servants, the prophets, rising early and sending them, saying, oh, do not do this abominable thing that I hate. But they did not listen or incline their ear to turn from their wickedness, to burn no incense to other gods. So my fury and my anger were poured out and kindled on the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem, and they are wasted and desolate as it is this day. Now think about this for a moment. They know what happened in Judah. They know what happened in Jerusalem. He's just kind of replaying it for them, letting them know not what happened, but why what happened. You need to know. They were disobedient to God. They rejected God. They went after other gods. And now, listen, this is the consequences. There are consequences when you and I, even today, even as believers, when we decide to do our own thing and go our own way, there's going to be consequences in our lives. And those consequences are going to come. And listen, sometimes it takes a long time. Some of us think we get away with something. Like you know, we think if we move to a new city, that God won't see us there. I don't know why people think that, but that, you know, hey, it's going to follow you. You're going to do it. So there's consequences. And he's letting them know those were the consequences of what went on in Judah. You were warned over and over. When you go back and go through Kings and go through, as we went through Kings and we brought up all the prophets who came. Man, and listen, we just got the ones who were recorded. There was prophet after prophet of God telling the people, stop doing this. And listen, they weren't going, stop doing this. They were going, stop doing this because it's going to kill us all. It's going to ruin everything, right? So Jeremiah lays it all out for them again, lets them know. And I'm emphasizing that because what we're going to read here in a minute. And then verse 7, now therefore, thus says the Lord God of hosts, the God of Israel. Why do you commit this great evil against yourselves, to cut off from you man, woman, child, infant, out of Judah, leaving none to remain, in that you provoke me to wrath with the works of your hands, burning incense to other gods in the land of Egypt, where you have gone to dwell, that you may cut yourselves off and be the curse and the reproach among the nations of the earth. Why? Listen, Jeremiah's going, why are you doing this? You should have learned there, and now you came down here, and you're following, and you're doing the same thing here. And I think Jeremiah's going, why? Why would we do this? It's only going to end in destruction. You know, as a pastor, sometimes it's really hard to watch people get in positions and watch them self-destruct. As a pastor, you're trying to give them information. You're trying to help them. And sometimes they look at you like, you're trying to control me. No, man, I'm just trying to help you. You are going to self-destruct. It's going to come undone. I remember several years ago, and these people aren't around anymore. That was several years ago. A couple really wanted to get married, and I went through some premarital counseling with them. And it was bad. The premarital counseling was bad. And I told them, you guys should not get married. You just shouldn't. Because they were fighting the whole time. They broke up like 3 times in you know, 2 months and stuff. I go, what makes you think when you say I do, anything's going to change? You're in really bad shape. As a pastor, I felt obligated to tell them that. And they said, no, we really want to get married. I said, you really shouldn't. No, we really want to. And I kind of gave in and I said, okay, I'm going to do your wedding. On their wedding day, I told them, you shouldn't do this. It's not too late. And then I told them this. When you guys begin to have trouble, don't call me. Because you haven't listened to me so far. And if you call me when you have trouble, it's not going to be any different. So call Pastor Jack. Well, I don't want to leave them just out to dry. Listen, there's sometimes you tell people and you can see it so clearly. And you're not telling them to be mean and you're not telling them because you want to control them. You tell them because you love them and you care about them. And that's Jeremiah's heart here. He's going, what on earth is going on? We left all of that. Look back. Remember what happened. And now you're here and you're serving other gods? What on earth would make you do that? Again, self-destruction. You're bent on destroying your life. So, he's not done yet. Verse 9, have you forgotten the wickedness of your fathers and the wickedness of the kings of Judah and the wickedness of their wives and your own wickedness and the wickedness of your wives, which they committed in the land of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem? They have not been humbled, and to this day, nor have they feared, and they have not walked in my law or my statutes that I set before you and your fathers. Therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will set my face against you for catastrophe and for cutting off Judah. Saints, if we reject God's grace and God's word of grace long enough, all we're ever going to hear is his words of judgment. You need to know that. You push his grace away, you push his grace away, you push his grace away. There's going to come a time where all you're going to hear is the judgment. And that's where these people are at. And God says, listen, I'm not giving you any more grace, man. Now it's all judgment, and it's all judgment on you guys who are down in Egypt. And here's what I'm thinking, man. If I'm the Pharaoh in Egypt, I'm thinking, what you guys come down here for? Like, I'm living down here, I got beat up already, and now you're coming down here, and you have God mad at you, not just the king of Babylon, but you have God mad at you. It's not going to fare well for me. And what's this crackpot doing putting stones under the pavement over here saying the king of Babylon's going to come and set up his thing there, and all I'm doing is I'm just king of Egypt. Well, because we really like you and we want to be on your side. I don't want you on my side. Go away. Get out of my country. I'm thinking he should have asked them to leave. Something else popped in, but let's get in a word. So listen, get back here. We have focus here. Therefore, verse 11, therefore thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will set my face against you for catastrophe and for cutting off all of Judah, and I will take the remnant of Judah who have set their faces to go to the land of Egypt to dwell there, and they shall all be consumed and fall in the land of Egypt, and they shall be consumed by the sword and by the famine, and they shall die from the least to the greatest by the sword and by famine, and they shall be an oath and an astonishment and a curse and a reproach, for I will punish those who dwell in the land of Egypt as I have punished Jerusalem by the sword, by famine, and by pestilence, so that none of the remnant of Judah who have gone to the land of Egypt to dwell there shall escape or survive, lest they return to the land of Judah to which, lest they return to the land of Judah to which they desire to return and dwell. For none shall return except those who escape. Notice that God always like, there's going to be a remnant of the remnant. Don't you kind of like that? Like we always say, God has a remnant. Here he's got a remnant of the remnant. And he says, some of them, he goes, no one's going to make it except those who escape. So there's going to be this little microcosm of these Egyptian Jews who are going to take off and they're going to make it back. God always gives hope, doesn't he? In the midst of all of this judgment, here's the judgment coming. This is what's going to happen. So Jeremiah lays all that out. Verse 15, then the men who knew that their wives had burned incense to other gods. Now here's what's interesting. Now all of a sudden, we're kind of getting a picture of what's going on here. Did you notice what just got said? Then the men who knew that their wives were burning incense to their God. Now listen, I'm not going to be someone who it's, you know, the woman you gave me, God. It's not that thing. But here's what we do need to know. Wives have tremendous influence in the home. I believe they have greater influence than the husbands in a home. I think husbands have a responsibility, but wives have that influence. And these wives, listen, these wives have decided they're going a different way. We're going to find out why and what they did. But all of a sudden, we're going along, and then it says, then all the men who knew that their wives had burned incense to other gods. You read that and you're going, what's going on? And then it says, with all the women who stood by and a great multitude and all the people who dwelt in the land of Egypt in Pathros answered Jeremiah saying, so you have the men, then you have the wives, and then you have everybody else there hanging out there. They listened to Jeremiah. At least they listened to him and they heard what he said. And then listen, here's what they say, verse 16. As for the word you have spoken to us in the name of the Lord, we will not listen to you. No kidding. Like I'm thinking Jeremiah's going, I'm used to that, man. I don't care. You know, you guys are all going to die anyway, right? Turn or burn is what he's saying, bottom line. And it's going to happen. So I am not shocked you're not listening to me. But they tell him why. Now listen, because this is what some of us do, maybe not to this degree, but check out, they go, we're not going to listen to you, but we will certainly do whatever has gone out of our own mouth. Now listen, we're not going to do what you say, but we're going to do what we say because we know better. That's kind of crazy talk, isn't it? But how many of us do what we think we should do rather than what God is showing us to do? I mean, even, you know, in the 21st century, we have it written down for us. We can read it and we go, well, I don't really want to do that. And yeah, I believe this is God's word, but not today. And so we're going to do whatever our mouth do. And then to burn, in the middle of verse 17, to burn incense to the Queen of Heaven and to pour out drink offerings to her as we have done, we and our fathers and our kings and our princes in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem. For then we had plenty of food and were well off and saw no trouble. Do you remember way back in Jeremiah when he told them to quit baking cakes to the Queen of Heaven and quit pouring incense? Listen, they were worshiping a false, it's a false deity. And, you know, a lot of people take this and do a whole Roman Catholic thing. And I don't even want to go there tonight about all of that. But listen to what they're doing. They're worshiping a false god. Happens to be a goddess. They're worshiping this false goddess. But did you pick up what they said? Because some of us do this, man. We get pragmatic about our Christianity, even our Christianity. And here's what we do. If this works, it must be right. Just because something works does not make it right. Did you hear what they said? We were burning incense and pouring out offerings to the Queen of Heaven, and we had plenty. It worked for us. Why are you on our case when that worked so well for us and we had plenty and now we got nothing, they're going to say in a moment. And shouldn't we go back? Well, I'm giving it all away because, and some of you read ahead anyway. But listen, they go, weren't we well off in the streets? We had plenty of food and we were well off and we saw no trouble. Verse 18, but since we stopped burning incense to the Queen of Heaven and pouring out drink offerings to her, we have lacked everything and have been consumed by the sword and the famine. Here's what they're saying. Let's look at this. When we were sinning, let's just say it that way, life was good. And now that we're not sinning anymore, life ain't so good. Well, a couple things on that front. Number one, God never promises us, you know, this glory road that is easy and simple and we're just going to get everything we want and nothing bad is ever going to happen to us. If that's a gospel you believe, do you believe some false gospel? He just promises to save us from sin. That's his promise. Not, I'm going to give you a wonderful life. I think there is some validity to that, but his definition of wonderful and ours can be due to two different things because he may take us through things that cause us to mature and grow. But here's what they're saying. We had it so good and we stopped sinning and now we have it bad. And so maybe we should keep on sinning, right? That's the way some people think. They get pragmatic. Hey, if it worked, it was okay. Now, I like this. The women, listen, the women get all up in arms. The women also said, and when we burned incense to the Queen of Heaven and we poured out drink offerings to him, did we make cakes for her to worship her and pour out drink offerings to her without our husband's permission? Here's what they're saying. Those dudes knew exactly what we were doing. It's a typical pass the buck thing now, right? Hey, they were there, they knew what we were doing, and they didn't care. So get them, Jeremiah. But we're still going to do this because it seems like a good thing. Then Jeremiah spoke to all the people, the men, the women, and all the people who had given him that answer saying. So here's what they said. It worked for us. So we're doing it here because now we have nothing and we think it might work for us again. And Jeremiah, you go pack sand, dude. We're done listening to you. Well, we never listened to you anyway. And we're surely not going to listen to you now. And we're going to try our own thing because we think it's going to work. Christian, do you ever do that? Do you ever kind of think your way might work better than God's way? Thank you. A couple of you are nodding your heads, yes. God bless you. Because you're being honest. Some of us are going, not me. Hypocrite. So listen, man. We do it all the time. God gives us his word and we think, well, I don't really have to obey your word. I got more smarts than you. So here they are, man. So now listen, Jeremiah, here's his answer, or here's what he says to them after they tell him that. Verse 21. The incense that you burned in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem, you and your fathers, your kings, and your princes and the people of the land, did not the Lord remember them? And did it not come to his mind? So the Lord could no longer bear it because of the evil of your doings and because of the abominations which you committed. Therefore, your land is a desolation and an astonishment and a curse, and without an inhabitant, as it is to this day, because you have burned incense and because you have sinned against the Lord and have not obeyed the voice of the Lord or walked in his law, in his statutes, or in his testimonies. Therefore, this calamity has happened to you as it is to this day. Your life is falling apart because you're rejecting God's counsel and God's way. It's kind of that simple. If you're here tonight, I'm kind of thinking either you're just curious or you're here tonight, maybe somebody drug you here, but for the most part, you're here because you kind of believe that God is the King of Heaven. And most of you here are not like worshiping the Queen of Heaven because you know the King of Heaven. And you know that's fallacy. But you also know, you believe that God made us. And if God made us, doesn't he know what is absolute best for us? Why do we buy into this lie that says God is just trying to rip you off and he's trying to make your life miserable, and he's not wanting you to enjoy things. Isn't that what those guys are saying? Listen, we quit burning stuff to the Queen of Heaven, and our life began to fall apart because God's mean, and the Queen is so nice. God's mean, and sin is so good. What a lie from the enemy. God has the absolute best for us. He loves us. He created us. He made us. He loves us so much, he went and he died on a cross. For our sin, he took our sin upon him. And all of the guilt, all of the shame, all of the punishment that we deserve, he took that upon himself. And now he says, here, have a great life. I love you. And we go for a while and we're okay, but we kind of drift away from that. And these guys are so far away, they can't see that. And he says, listen, God is going to bring punishment because you're saying God is wrong, you're right. So verse 24, he's not done. Moreover, Jeremiah said to the people and to all the women, hear the word of the Lord, all Judah who are in the land of Egypt. And I'm thinking, man, this guy does not give up, does he? He's kind of like a pit bull. Man, he bites and hangs on, and he is not going to quit, right? And so he says, listen, everybody, thus says the Lord of hosts in verse 25, the God of Israel, saying, you and your wives have spoken with your mouths and fulfilled with your hands, saying, we will surely keep our vows that we have made to burn incense to the Queen of Heaven and to pour out drink offerings to her, and you will surely keep your vows and perform your vows. Therefore, hear the word of the Lord, all Judah who dwell in the land of Egypt. Behold, I have sworn by my great name, says the Lord, that my name shall no more be named in the mouth of any man of Judah in all the land of Egypt, saying, the Lord God lives. To me, that's one of the saddest verses. You hear what God is saying? I'm going to take that out of your memory. You're not even going to remember. You're not even going to have a clue of who God is. Kind of sounds like a lot of people today, right? Kind of our world is so turned against God that there's people, you know, you mentioned Jesus, and they think either he's some little plastic statue thing, or they have no clue. And he says, listen, you're not going to know that. You're not going to say that. And behold, verse 27, I will watch over them for adversity and not for good. And all the men of Judah who are in the land of Egypt shall be consumed by the sword and by famine until there is no end to them. Yet a small number who escaped the sword shall return from the land of Egypt to the land of Judah, and all the remnant of Judah who have gone into the land of Egypt to dwell there shall know whose words will stand, mine or theirs. Don't you love this? I love it when God kind of throws down. He goes, okay, I've had it. Let's see who really is God. Let's have a little test here. And let's see how you guys do following your God. You go after your God, and I'll be God, and we'll see who comes out on top. I love it when God does this. And this shall be a sign to you, says the Lord, that I will punish you in this place, that you may know that my words will surely stand against you for adversity. Thus says the Lord, behold, I will give Pharaoh Hophrah, king of Egypt, into the hand of the enemies and into the hand of those who seek his life, as I gave Zedekiah, the king of Judah, into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, his enemy, who sought his life. So here, this kind of ends the prophecies of Jeremiah. We're going to get back into them in chapter 46 through 51. We're going to talk about some judgments, but I think they're collections. I think this is it. Jeremiah goes, this is it, finished, we're done. Here's what you need to know. When we get done here, you figure out who's God and who's not. And here's going to be the sign to you, this Pharaoh, this king, and I'm thinking he's standing there going, what did I do? All I am is here, right? You guys came down here and you messed up my country and you brought all this, but here's what God is saying. He is going to disappear. Now, for you history buffs, I'm not going to tell you what happened. Google what happened to this king. Because it happened just as God said it would. Shock, shock, right? And he says he's going to disappear and Babylon's going to come down here and set up their tent, and that's the way it's going to be. So we kind of finish here, but we got to do chapter 45. Because, listen, chapter 45 doesn't really go here. It goes more chronologically after Jeremiah 36. Remember in Jeremiah 35, 36 is where Baruch took the writings and the writings were torn and burned in the fire. Remember the king did that and he burned them. Now, it's kind of there chronologically, but I believe it's here because I believe Baruch is standing next to Jeremiah in Egypt thinking, what am I doing in Egypt? Right? All I ever did was serve Jeremiah. You know, I believe there should be a lot more people who are serving behind the scenes. You see, not everyone is going to have an upfront noticed ministry. And there are prayer warriors, there are those who are behind the scenes, and listen, those are the backbone, the strength of any church. I remember hearing years ago that Spurgeon, when he would get up to preach, when he got behind a pulpit, he'd do this. And people would go, why does he do that? And it was because there were 400 people in the basement praying, and he was letting them know he was starting. That's kind of cool, huh? That's who Baruch is. Baruch's not, he's not like a really famous guy. All he ever did was whatever Jeremiah asked him to do. He's his assistant. He wrote some stuff, got in some trouble, went and hid, came out of hiding. So let's look at him because he's also an example of humanity, and some of us do this in ministry. So verse 45, the word that Jeremiah the prophet spoke to Baruch, the son of Neriah, when he had written these words in the book at the instruction of Jeremiah in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, saying. So listen, this is Jeremiah, and I'm thinking we're reflecting now. I'm thinking they're hanging out there, and I think Jeremiah goes, remember what I said to you, man, back there? Remember about 8 years ago what I said? It was kind of funny, huh? Not funny anymore, is it? But remember when he had that hard time, he cut that stuff up, remember that? And so he says, listen, thus says the Lord God of Israel to you, O Baruch. You said, woe is me now. For the Lord has added grief to my sorrow, and I fainted at my sighing, and I find no rest. So this is a word from the Lord, and the Lord's noticing something about Baruch. And if you notice there's a lot of personal pronouns, aren't there? What's going on in this man's life? Yeah, he was a servant of God, and he was a servant of Jeremiah, but he kind of had a problem. He kind of thought it was all about him. And a lot of us get that way. A lot of us get that way. Well, you know what? Nobody thanked me for doing what I did today. I served my guts out. Nobody noticed. And we get into, this is my sighing. And, you know, somebody burned up 2 years of my handwriting in a fire and nobody cares. Now I got to go do it again. And Baruch's all about, woe is me. This isn't fair. Any of us ever say that? Sure. Or we might even say, I'm out of this place, man, because these people, they don't even know whether I'm here or not. And we're about me. Saints, church is not about me. Church is about what I can do for it. What do I bring to the table? What do I offer? And so this guy got in bad shape. And I think, here's what I think, we get to see a human side of one of these guys that we all think is perfect, right? And so he's kind of, hey, God, I don't like this. So the Lord said to him, verse 4, thus you shall say to him, thus says the Lord, behold, what I have built I will break down, and what I have planted I will pluck up, and that is this whole land. So he's saying, listen, I'm doing my thing here. God's saying, I'm doing my thing. You don't worry about, I'm doing it. And then he says this, you seek great things for yourself. Do you hear what he just said? He just called him out, didn't he? Baruch, you're all about yourself. Stop it, right? God says, do not think them. Here's what he says. You think you should get this and you should get that and this is owed to you. He goes, quit thinking that way. And I'm thinking if I'm Baruch, now I'm really going to pout, right? This is like it gets double bad, but it gets better. So God tells him, stop that. And then he says, I will bring adversity on all flesh, says the Lord. Now here's the cool part. but I will give your life to you as a prize in all places wherever you go. Brooke, here's what you need to know. And maybe some of us need this word tonight. Here's what God's saying. I'm on your side. I'm not against you. I'm for you. I'm not trying to make your life miserable. I'm trying to make it good. I'm not trying to take things away from you. I'm trying to add and give you the best possible life. And you get it so mixed up in your head because of the things around you and the things swirling and things get kind of crazy. And all of a sudden you think, why is God doing this to me? And he goes, I'm really not. I'm on your side. And you need to know that. And I'm going to give you your life wherever you go. It doesn't matter if you're in Egypt or if you're in Judah or if you're in Sierra Vista. I'm on your side. And we need to remember that as we come to this table, huh? This table represents to us the tremendous sacrifice that our God gave to us that we want to remember so that we can become stronger. We're not doing it just as a memorial. We're doing it so we can be strengthened. Let's stand up and pray. Lord, as we